Hello, I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and you come to me for hard facts. The world keeps turning, and you're trying to keep up.
The fight against coronavirus has the Oxford.
But there's so much noise drowning out the news. Talking heads, broadcast messages, press releases. They're telling you their side, but you just want the facts. And that's why you come to me. I give you the statistics without spin. Out of 116 million working age Nigerians, 35.5 million are employed full time. That's 30%. I give you the context.
I give you the history.
I fight fake news with facts.
Kayode.
Let me talk.
No, Kayode, I will let you talk. Kayode. Kayode, I will let you talk if you let me talk. Kayode.
That's why more and more Lagosians are tuning in. 500,000 Lagosians.
720,000.
970,000 of you. They know that if you give me your afternoon, I will give you hard facts.
Hello, Sandra. All you do, going beyond the headlines
and
focus on the facts.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
Shaku Maku, everybody, and fine afternoon in the city of Lagos, outside Lagos, wherever you may be listening on tonight, 9.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Aoko Obo, and this is Hat Fact, and we're going to have a big show, as always, today and every other day. Welcome to another week. Another week, another wahala, like we say. Because Nigeria has plenty of wahala and plenty to talk about. But the hope we have is the more we talk about these things and we find a way to get everyone on the same page, the quicker we are on the way to the promised land and to improve our collective goal and ambition, which I think it's what everyone is talking about. I don't think anyone in his right senses wants the country to go to the dogs. They want a country where we can proudly say it's our nation and where we can all, sit down and say we work together and made this happen. Everyone owns this nation. Right. Remember, you can always join the conversation on 99.3 Nigeria Info on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM at Aoko Obo. Hashtag Nigeria Info HF. You can also send us messages on WhatsApp 08095975805. I see several messages here already on WhatsApp on Webimos show on Sunnyside. Interesting messages. Interesting. But keep those messages coming in. And you know how we begin this. We begin with the big three. And we're looking at the big stories that happened over the weekend. Some of the stories also, stories which are developing today, which we'll be updating you. And we hope that you also, too, can join in the conversation to help us understand it a lot better. At the top of the hour, that's at 4 p.m., we have the business news. And after business news, you'd have security. You have Checkpoint, rather, with Chukwudi Ezeugu. And we'll be looking at some serious security issues, which... security and safety issues which concern you and I. At 5 p.m. on the Big Hat Fact, I'm going to be having the president of African Bar Association, Hannibal Owaifo, and we're going to be talking about something which is very, very important. For the obtained time, we've had demolitions happen in Lagos State. Total clearance from my background in urban and regional planning is usually the worst way to make development happen, but it appears that many state governments sort of think that this is the right way to do in carrying out redevelopment or rehabilitation. I mean, this has been done away with in centuries past. People don't demolish the way it's happened in Lagos. Over and over again, it's happened. And this time around, it's 2 months after the Okeagon community in Kayetoro, which is by Lekko Junction, off the Lekki Epe Expressway, has happened. And we'll speak with someone who's lived there, over 200 families displaced by that demolition exercise, and help us understand what is happening with them now and what sort of legal route is open to them in ensuring that they get justice at the end of the day. So watch out for that interview. It's going to be a big one with Hannibal Owaifo, the president of the African Bar Association. So let's get on to the big three. A big weekend we had, and the biggest story, before I get there, if you're ready, I'm ready, and Here we go. All right. On the big three, the first story. Let me launch this one so that you know where we start off on the big three.
The meeting appreciated the formation of Southeast Joint Security Office, co-named Ebubago, whose headquarters is in Enugu, to coordinate our vigilante in Southeast. Southeast Governor requested the acting IGP to stop the influx of IGP monitoring units into Southeast, but to allow the CPs and states, the CPs of our states and zonal commands, to handle their cases and be the one to refer to the headquarters of Abuja when the need arises.
All right, when the need arises, and they've stepped up their game. That's the Southeast governors there. The one you heard there is Dave Umahi, who is the governor of Ebonyi State. And Ebubeagu, which means wonderful tiger, is a joint security outfit. And he was speaking at the end of a Southeast Security Summit, which held in Owerri. By the way, Dave Umahi also quoted as saying that this security meeting for the Southeastern Zone would happen on a quarterly basis. And it says also that headquarters will be in Enugu and will coordinate the vigilance groups in the zone. They also resolved set up a committee comprising security personnel, government officials, and other relevant stakeholders to coordinate and monitor the implementation of the joint security platform. The governors also condemned terrorism and banditry in every part of Nigeria, particularly in the southeast, where some security formations were destroyed. They asked that Ohanaeze Ndigbo, which is the pan-Igbo social cultural group, be invited to help explain, you know, shed some light on why they think there's growing insecurity in the southeast. They also resolved to pool their resources as one united zone to fight crime and terrorism in the zone. They stressed the need to galvanize all relevant stakeholders, bureaucrats, and political class to provide support to security agencies in order to achieve their goals. They've banned open grazing. They urged security agencies to enforce the ban in the states. But then they called for the peaceful coexistence between farmers and herders to enable them succeed in the fight against criminality. Those who attended the meeting, they include Governor Okezie Ekpeazu of Abia State, Willie Obiano of Anambra State, Fine Wai of Enugu State, and Hope Uzodinma of Imo State. And then they had the heads of several security agencies in the zone. So those of you who've been clamoring for a mirroring of what you have in the southwest, Motecon, the south, I don't see any thing. Maybe now they'll probably be gingered, like we say, to have something happen. But if you thought that the formation of this outfit would send a message to the bad guys that it's no longer going to be business as usual, there are new sheriffs in town, you probably got it wrong. Just before I stepped into here, into the studio, in the newsroom, we were getting reports of attacks by some gunmen in some part of Ebonyi State. So it's going to be a long walk in the park. This one, obviously, is some security problems that has got several branches. There is the problem with the open grazing, but there are also other criminal elements that it appears have escaped the radar of the security agencies. But the reactions have been also mixed, even though more people have been in support of the security joint security office. You simply cannot fold your hands and not make some sort of effort in community policing. But what do I know? I'm sure you a lot of you who are listening probably have your thoughts about whether Ebubeagu will be able to confront the security menace facing the southeast, and whether it will in any significant way change things. So that's one story. I'm going to run through those stories as quickly as possible so I can engage you all. We're streaming this live also on Facebook as well as on YouTube at Nigeria Info FM. Together with the Ebubeagu story is another story which has developed over the weekend. It is the National Association of Resident Doctors. And I'm sure you listen to the news where where you had the president of the resident association, Uyi, resident doctors Uyi. Interesting, I was in touch with him over the weekend, and you know, we had the conversation with the first vice president, Dr. Chukwujama, on Friday. I also spoke with Dr. Adejo, who's the first national vice president, also two of the resident doctors. On this good news, they've called off the strike. But if you had the president of the resident doctors say that, I am thinking that if the government in 4 weeks doesn't do what we've said, then we will continue the strike. So it's just been suspended. But the big question a lot of people have been asking is, if you listen very well to the interview we had with Dr. Chukwujama, we kept asking the question, what are the guarantees? What is the shorty saying that if the government meets this part of the bargain, meets this part of the deal, then you call off the strike? And they kept emphasizing and stressing that it had to be something concrete. So I can imagine the frustration they're having now in having to explain to the millions of Nigerians and the thousands of resident doctors who've been owed salaries and for about 6 months, and many of them also too who've been shortchanged in this entire equation, to say, and we asked you the question, did you receive the alert? did you receive the alert before you called off this strike? And well, this is what they have. These are the commitments they say they have reached. I'm trying to, you know, I've also posed a question, because one of the major reasons why we've had three strikes in the last 1 year is because the government has reneged on previous agreements. And I'm not too sure that they have something really concrete, because I asked the first national vice president, the doctors who have been owed 6 months, at least you know they're the affected ones, they're compiling the names. When are you going to give the committee the list saying these are the doctors that have been affected, and are they going to confirm via their BVNs or whatever biometrics they need to confirm, saying that these doctors genuinely have been confirmed as being shortchanged in the system, they've been owed salaries? And then after that has been done, when do they get the alert saying that the money's being owed have been paid? And they said that this will happen within 48 hours. I've also heard some places say that within this week that they will get their monies. Otherwise, wahala deo. So just to remind you some of the things that they had at the end of this meeting. Non-payment of house officers' salaries. Meeting noted the efforts of the Medical and Dental Council, praised them for working over the holidays to effect payment. The committee was to work for 72 hours and produce a valid list, which is what I talked about, to IPPRS through the Ministry of Health. The IPPRS is as soon as possible to create a platform where all payments made and the recipients will be made available for accessibility and information, without which it will be difficult to determine those that have been paid and those not paid. Abolishment of bench fees, number two, was agreed as part of the Memorandum of Action, that the policy should be abolished following due process to be initiated by the Federal Ministry of Health. Permanent Secretary to issue a formula, a circular rather, to this effect and send a memorandum on this for ratification whenever the National Council on Health is convened. Three, non-payment of national minimum wage consequential adjustment arrears. So the shortfall 2014-2016. I'm sure many of you are wondering, a lot of this stuff, you're not too, those in the medical field probably have an idea what all of this stuff is about. Resident training allowance, you knew about this one. This one also to something that I'm sure that you probably will also did measure among the most important things the doctors wanted to reconcile with the government. Hazard allowance, you've heard this one a lot. 5,000 Naira is simply shambolic. It's a disgrace to imagine medical doctors who put themselves in harm's way and we get 5,000 Naira at the end of the day. They say they're going to work on this one. So the meeting noted the issue is not peculiar to resident doctors, but cut across the entire health sector and her workforce. The meeting was informed that the Presidential Committee on Salaries will be meeting on Monday, the 12th of April, at the Federal Ministry of Finance to examine the hazard allowance issue. I think that they don't need to examine. Go straight and do something about it. And it's back to the question about the medical resident doctors on the wisdom about going this whole thing alone. If all of them had come together, the health workers, all of them, in one umbrella body, and had gone on strike, probably press the demand and their hand will be stronger. They went to Abuja and they began to tell them the story that this involves everybody in the health sector. So this hazard allowance you complain about involves everyone. And it put them in a betwixt, you know, like they say. They're working on a group life insurance payment. They say if the one for the people isn't working, which is universal healthcare cover, or the National Health Insurance Scheme, this should at least work. So the group life insurance payment is one of the other important things they're talking about. And then there's the GIFMIS platform. Resident doctors say they're happy with the progress that have been made so far. And they hope to continue consultations. We'll communicate with the Minister of Labour and Employment on the decision on payments of the residents on the platform, which they say is transparent. And then finally, no member of the resident doctors will be punished for this strike. So these are all very interesting developments, and I would love to hear what you have to say. Do you think the Southeast... there's one more story. We'll talk about that after the break, taking your call so that you can then understand some more. So we have two stories to look at. Ibubiagu, which is a beautiful tiger. And see whether, a wonderful tiger rather, see whether it's going to help solve myriad security problems in the Southeast. It's a local intervention to a problem they also say is local. The governor's optimistic that this will happen. Together with several people who are residents in the Southeast who have been concerned, the several cases and breaches in the security system, you know. And the resident doctors have resumed work, and there's a lot of disagreement and confusion whether or not the things they have received in the memorandum of action from the government will happen, to the point you even have the president of the resident doctors saying, if you don't do it within 1 month, we'll be back. We'll be back. Back in this whole thing. All right, the line to call, 0700-993-993-993. Call us and tell us what you think about these two stories. There's one more story coming up. I'm going to talk about that after the break. Again, 0700-993-993-993. Again, 0700-993-993-993. There's a line for the ladies, 01465-7190. Again, 01465-7190. And for those who don't have the patience to wait on the phone lines, you can do a WhatsApp on 0809-597-5805. While the call is being screened for me here, let me get on WhatsApp. I see, Peter from Ikorodu has sent a long one, but I'll try. He says, Ebubiagu means the owl, the glory, wonder, or even terror of the lion, depending on a given perspective. Please, on the resident doctors, are the doctors really dumb or just too selfish to change this obsolete and ineffective strategy of consistent beggarly strike rather than hit the politicians where it hurts most, which will benefit the masses by rather going on strike to enact a law that criminalizes medical tourism after 3 to 6 months in office for all elected officers and public servants? Well, there's that saying that a journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step, huh? Oh dear, looks like we lost. I was going to get to Uche, but looks like we lost his connection. But call in 0700-993-993. We want to hear from you. What do you think about Ibubiagu? I like Peter's definition. Oh, glory, wonder, terror of the lion. Agu. Will it happen with this one? I want to be the eternal optimist here. Let's see. Maybe we're having difficulty connecting, but we can get this line through. We have Benjamin, if I'm right.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Ben, yeah. That's your name, right?
Yeah, that's Ben.
All right. Kindly move away from the device so we don't get the feedback, Ben.
Yeah, that is done.
All right. Where are you calling from, Ben?
From Ejibu.
And I understand you're a first-time caller.
Yeah, right.
Great. Quickly, go ahead.
I want to give you the definition of Ibubiagu. I'm really Igbo man.
Give it to us straight away.
Ibubiagu means glory of lion that keeps it. Ibubiagu is tiger. Then lion is different thing.
Okay.
So Ibubiagu means the glory of tiger that protects and keeps it.
The glory of the tiger.
Ibubiagu nature.
Good.
So the Glory keeps it.
Good. So, great name, but you think they can do what is required of them? That means they've got a lot of work to do.
Well, they can try as much as they can.
Mm.
The problem of Nigeria now is overwhelming everybody.
Mm.
So, that's the thing.
All right. Thank you very much. Ben gives it his 100% support. The Glory of the Tiger. Francis in Alaba. Hello, Francis.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. And how is Alaba today?
Alaba is good.
You know the theme to Rocky, the Eye of the Tiger.
the definition, the translation of the name.
Yes.
Ebu Bago.
Yes.
I keep that
aside.
Behind.
Great.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I want to say that it's a great thing that for once the southeastern governors are able to meet and agree unanimously without any one of them, you know, going contrary to a particular cause.
Mm.
And I want to also say, without fear of favor.
Right.
That I want to believe that their paymasters have not forced them to go forming this security outfit to dislodge ESM. Mm.
Mm.
They should not go confrontational to ESM. If they intend to dislodge them, let them do what they ought to do to the people, to the people of the Southeast.
All right. Very well said. Thank you very much, Francis. We're going to go on a quick break. We come back, taking some more calls on our stories on The Big Three. Please stay with us.
This is The Big Three.
The Big Three.
On Hard Facts.
On 99.3 Nigeria.
All right, welcome back. And it's 3:30, and we're making slow and steady progress. And there's a third story, but before I get on to the third story, remember you can always join the conversation online at Nigeria Info FM, hashtag Nigeria Info HF. Also, you can send comments, messages, follow. Let's hear what you have to say. Peter is in Alakbere K2, and I can't remember when last we got anyone calling from Alakbere in K2, but hello, Peter. Looks like Peter is off, but do try call back and we can have a conversation with you. So I will be on Twitter very soon to take in the comments and WhatsApp. Keep those comments coming in now. Baba K from Victoria Island says, what we need now is a group of security like the... People will go for your jugular with this one, but the Bakassi boys that can protect them from all kind of evil in the East. The success of the Bakassi boys is something that has been debated. I'm not too sure that their end was such a great thing to say as a legacy for what you could do with community police for several factors. Christopher is in Ikoyi, and he joins us this afternoon on Hard Facts. Hello, Christopher.
Yeah, Chief Obo.
Hey, Chief Christopher.
Shaku Maku.
Hey, Makushi.
Yala, yala. Mm. The Honorable One of Nigeria Info.
Mm.
Chief Obo.
Yes, I hear you, sir.
If I tell you that, how do I put it? I'm happy with all is going on now.
Mm.
But my pain in this insecurity thing is the dead.
Mm.
The ones that are dying. Mm. You know, I told you the other day, I lost my junior at Boronu.
Yes, you
said. The young man was with the army, right?
Right, right.
Okay.
Mm.
Some years back, because when you mention the past government, people will start there. If not, they are not blaming them all. Did you hear all this agitation for Matekun, for Isiba, for, who is this one they just created now? Ibu Bago.
Mm.
Right? Is it Ibu Bago, right?
Yeah, Ibu Bago, yes.
Did you hear call for such thing?
Well, come to think about it, they've always been there. You know, someone just mentioned Bakassi Boys now, and I remember the early Obasanjo years. They were everywhere. You had Igbesu in the South. You had, you know.
But is it up to this level that everybody is calling to? Oh, we want to go on our own way.
Well, I think, Christopher. I think it's symptomatic of a failing government system. You'd hear this happen. Yeah, I think about it in the night.
Chibobo, my brother, don't worry. Always, I know you and because of this.
No. I've been following this. I remember after the June 12 election. You remember the entire country was going to disintegrate. We even joke. We said if Nigeria survives the June 12 wahala, we will never scatter again. And
even 2015, tension, you know, some people told us yes, 2015 so Nigeria is going to. You remember?
So, yeah. So you know, being an avid watcher of the history, you see that every time Nigeria dances to the cliff.
No.
Edge. You know, we dance don't want to tell and we come to, back, you know.
Within these past 6 years, the thing are getting worse. Things are not working. Nobody wants to look at the president's face and tell him, sir, oh, no, this area you are going is wrong. Mm. The Constitution gives too much power to the president. I'm telling you, Chifobo. I've been telling President Buhari, I don't know why he allowed himself to be deceived. Please, I'm begging him. He can still make some correction. I hear some people call shame to him. No. He can still make some correction. Thank you, Chief Obo.
All right, thank you very much, Christopher. Christopher remains hopeful that maybe things will change. I don't have your name, but you say that Nigeria is a copy and paste country. Copy people. What we need in Nigeria is justice. Without justice, there won't be anything like peace. NEPA has changed their name to PHCN, but their ways are still the same. Interesting analogy. Okwekende is writing in from Ijego and he says, this governor's serious for real. Hope he's not just a show because the Southwest called their own a leopard and the Southwest are calling their own lion. I'm not convinced by these politicians who can toss our security operatives like a dice. They even determine their salaries and remuneration. I don't expect anything good from this political security agencies. The system is already faulty. Quote me, all the security agencies will be compromised. Okay, let's get to Prince. Prince is in Amodofin. Hello, Prince, and good afternoon.
How are you, Ohobu?
I'm very, very fine. Prince Wires.
Yeah, you are speaking to me, Prince Wires.
Good.
And I'm greeting you, say good afternoon.
And we greet you back, too.
Thank you. You see, that latest security set up by the Eastern governor.
Right.
For me, better late than never. But the Sukhota have done all this long time ago. The Eastern Security Service, they've taken over from there. And I can't blame these people. They want to protect their people. Where people are telling Nigeria we need state police, this is one of it. We have our Mateko in the Southwest, we have Bisba and other in the North. Well, the Eastern to set up their own too. So when you talk of professional police, can police every local government, even they can police state, they can police local government, can they police every community in Nigeria? The answer is no. So we need all these type of people to complement the efforts of police. And I want the police to cooperate with them. Some people may be saying that the IPOB is set up their own business.
Right.
Yes, for me, the governor should just sit at round table and cooperate with the former district with their own. Because where they're supposed to do their own, they were sleeping there. And for me, I'm not against the previous one, the setup.
Right.
The latest one is just try to work together for the benefit of Igbo Nation. That's right. My challenge happening.
All right. Thank you very much, Prince Wires. I can get back to WhatsApp. This is, I don't have your name. Well, even if you put your name in the first time, always make sure, in previous messages, always make sure that with the new message, you put your name after it. This one says, our liars will not make heaven. But stay with yourself and ask Chris questions correctly. Was there so much insecurity in Nigeria that regions are calling for secession? You media know the truth, but intentionally shy away from it. Same media that gave this government the free will to do as they like, afraid of their shadows. You can always go back to previous years and look at agitations. They've always been there. I remember in the 90s, you had the Kayama Declaration. The South Sudan had to pull out from the country. I'm from the South Sudan. I know exactly how agitated people were in the South Sudan. At that point in time, they wanted to be a part of the entire system. They single-handedly shut off 25% of Nigeria's crude oil production at that point in time. And they were ready to go ahead and form whatever they had then, you know. So at every dispensation, every administration has faced, you could check that out. I mean, the Sharia Wahala in the north was going to consume the entire country, and Obasanjo taught in his wisdom not to interfere with it, and they had Sharia happen there. You could go back and look at all of these things. So don't think what you're seeing now is new. It's always been there. Now you have social media to help expand many of these things. The situation may be worse, but honestly speaking, you've always had people, you know, agitating for their own independence of some sort, you know. Ridwan from Sarigomu in Lorile says, Shakumaku. I like the idea of the Southeastern governors for the creation of Ibibuyagu. All I want is for them not to be hijacked, and they should be well paid and equipped for the resident doctors. Keep my fingers crossed, plus I share your sentiments. I'm going to get to Francis in Aja straight away. And interestingly, a lot of people I'm seeing on Twitter are a bit concerned that they hope Ibibuyagu would not clash with the Eastern Security Network, which some of them are saying may be a likelihood. But let's speak with Francis. Francis, move away from the radio or the device you're Hello. Listening with. Good. We have you clear now. Francis calling in from Aja.
Hello. This is Martin from Aja, not Francis.
Oh, I am so sorry. Yeah. Martin.
Yeah, this is Martin.
Martins, go ahead, please.
Okay. When we talk about Ebube is talking about glory. Glory has many things within it. It speaks of splendor, beauty, and the rest of it, talking about terror. So, in this perspective, I think they may be talking about the terror of the tiger. Now, I think what they are doing is right, if they do not misuse it. Because most of the times, people set up things and you see everybody commending them, but at the end, such things will end up being misused by the same people that set up such things. I hope it is safe to serve the people, not to serve some few people like the Nigerian police have been hijacked. To serve only few individuals in the country. And that is why we are lacking. So that's just the little my little contribution. I hope it is safe to serve the interests of the whole people.
All right, Francis. That is it. All right, thank you very much. Francis, watching and praying with cautious optimism. John Bosco Wele Mighty is on Twitter. He says, I think that in all honesty, with the formation of Ibibuyagu, I must say that it's coming too late, but not at the wrong time, actually. It does not make sense. But can the Eastern governors be able to fund it adequately and not politicize it? A series of tweets from John Bosco Wele, but I'll just take one tweet. Dan P, also on Twitter, says, as for me, I support Ibibuyagu's team because I traveled to the East last month. I was scared because of Fulani headsmen. In Anambra, daily, they kidnap people. Nowhere safe for the common man because the rich fly planes, but we bought buses. Let all Southwest government protect their people. Budget on Twitter says, I'm seeing two things. Either the Eastern government have realized that Nemesis is catching up with them as they begin to see the federal government, they betray their people for out of greed, can't save them. Or secondly, it could still be they are collaborating with the government to fight the ESN, which is the acronym for the Eastern Security Network. Interestingly, I see a number of people asking whether... I'll come to that thought, but let's speak with Hillary. Hillary is in Ogun State and calling for the first time. Hello, Hillary.
Hello, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Hillary. How are you?
I'm fine, sir.
Great. Please go ahead. Which of the stories do you want to talk about?
I'm talking about the embargo of the created in the East.
Great. Go ahead.
So some people are saying something about the meaning of that embargo means the glory of lion.
Not tiger.
Tiger in Igbo means odum.
Okay.
Those that are mentioning tiger. Tiger has nothing to do with that because agu in Igbo means lion.
Okay.
Then people that are mentioning tiger, the meaning of tiger in Igbo is odum.
Okay. All right.
So I believe that they will not clash with the ESN. Because as they said this thing of now, it will be a problem between the government now and the Nnamdi Kanu group.
Okay. Thank you very much, Hilary. Which you think is of great concern. People asking about funding. The only place listening to reading the communique from the Ebonyi State Governor Dave Umahi had to do with funding for the security operatives within that the police. He didn't give a breakdown on how the security for the Ebubeagu will work. He just mentioned the headquarters will be in Enugu State, but nothing about funding. I think it'll be interesting to know just exactly how they'll be funded and how much, how many. You know, the breakdown in details. I'm sure that will happen in subsequent releases. After I hear from John Inibejuleki, we'll take the third story, which is an interesting story on the APC. Replying Gordon Obaseki, the governor of Edo State, on controversial comments he made over the weekend. Let's speak with John. Hello. John, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Great. And you're calling from Ibejuleki?
Yes.
Good. Please go ahead.
Some people are just misinterpreting Ago and the rest of them, but that is not what I am here to do.
Please, let's not go into that. Just go, because we're going to open a Pandora box on this one.
All right.
Yeah.
You see, that something they set up, I believe they want to use it to counter ESN. That is just their aim, because I don't know what they were doing before. When other people form their own, we are crying, calling that they should form something like that. They refuse. Now the IPOB have formed their own. It is now that they want to form a Bubago. So how are the two going to manage together? I'm waiting for them, because those people that are there, they are not representing also. They know who they are representing, and that is the person they are representing. That is who they are working for. We know who represents us. You understand? We are more confident with the ESN and IPOB than them, because they are not doing anything for us. True. Okay. Bye-bye, sir.
All right. Thank you very much, John. So I'm going to go on to the next story. In fact, I'm in a bit weeks, because I sort of remember there was a story I was supposed to talk about, which is the Benue situation. But because there's been no update, what happened in Kanshisha, where you had 11 military personnel killed, and then the military went in there to find out those who were behind it. And we are back to a question of who did it. I mean, what exactly happened? I got a mail from the defense headquarters trying to explain over the weekend what happened. And in the statement, which was put out by the acting director of Defense Information, Oyema, but now that I've said talking, I'll talk about it and forget about Obaseki and the response, because this more concerns life and to get justice at the end of the day. So the soldiers were killed, unfortunately, and military stepped in. And we got varying reports. Some accounts said scores of people were killed, civilians, and others said, no, it wasn't true. So the army came out and said that this is what happened. They said that their men had engaged, that there was some communal problem that happened. They had agreed for a meeting between the two communities that had the problem. So they were supposed to go in there to watch the reconciliation, because they had finally reached an agreement. Those are the disagreeing communities. But then unfortunately, they got an alert saying that its men were in problem, you know, and that they wanted them to come rescue them. And on the way there, they were ambushed by, in quotes, so-called bandits, and killed, took them into this Kanshisha forest, and then slaughtered them and burned their bodies, took their rifles. And then the military, in anger, well, not to investigate what had happened, stepped into this place. And they said that the people who remained in this town were the bandits who were responsible for the killing of the soldiers. So, because anyone who was a resident would have left. So, they carried out air raids, and they said they were engaged, you know, people were killed, they gave a number, and now they're querying the numbers that have been put out, saying 200, 70, 30. They would want anybody who is from Kanshisha, to come and provide that evidence to say that this is what happened. Saying, quote, "There was never a massacre as being touted by some mischief makers." It's a very long statement saying that that even the reinforcement who went in there to find out what had happened came under attack by close to 500 armed youths who had occupied Bonta, which is a town in Kanshisha. The sheer number of youths involved in the attack suggests that the armed bandits cannot be from Bonta alone, but were joined by bandits from other parts of Kanshisha local government area. Military repelled the attack, and after more than 4 hours of intense fighting, during which the military helicopter provided close air support to ground troops, 10 armed bandits were killed during the fight, with the rifle of one of the killed in action soldiers recovered from the bandits. So here's the problem. How to know that civilian casualties were not caught up in this fire is something that will take a lot for people to understand, because I'm not too sure that if you have close to the ground air fights happening, people who are stuck in, I mean, if you were in a house, for example, you didn't have anywhere to go, you know that because soldiers have been killed, you would have to run out of that. But if you're too old, for example, where would you go? So now people are calling for an independent investigation into this entire thing to find out just exactly what happened. When these air raids happened, did people get caught there, for example, who had no idea what was going on, who were not connected to any of the bandits, got caught in the crossfire, for simply being in the wrong place at the wrong time, and died? That's the question that not the military will be able to answer, but rather independent investigators to find out just how this whole thing played. But it's back to the problem we've had for several years, where you have military in places and in spaces where the police should be. I mean, it's a local problem between one tribe and another tribe, one ethnic group, another ethnic group. It should be dealt with civilian security operatives who have been trained in how to handle this sort of thing. But this is what has happened, unfortunately. All right, 0700-993-993-993. Call us and tell us what you think. Three stories again. 0700-993-993-993. I had to drop the Obaseki story because this is weightier. And the sooner we get to the bottom of this, the better, because one live gun is too much. How much more on specified numbers of people who may have died in this entire thing that happened, unfortunately, in Benue State? Our hearts go out to the military personnel who died, and of course the ones who have been caught in the crossfire also too. Those are things I think that we should work on. Let's hear what you have to say. 0700-993-993. Hello and good afternoon. Hello and good afternoon. All right, looks like this one isn't going through. Just pick up one of them and let's hear what they have to say. Hello and good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good to hear you, sir. What's your name, please, and where are you calling from?
My name is Umana. I'm calling from Surulere. All right. You can hear me well.
Umana, we hear you loud and clear. Please go ahead.
All good. I would like to give a contribution on the doctor's strike that has just been called off.
Great. Please go ahead.
For me, I don't think the doctors are making the right demands. I think part of the demands should be that, and I'm sure they have the right to do that, that if we are professionals providing health care for the citizenry of this nation, then the politicians, both those that are appointed and those that are elected, should of necessity you know, what do you call it now, subscribe to those services too. Because what they are simply saying is that the doctors here are not good enough for them, are good enough for all the others. And if the doctors are being used by these politicians, naturally they will think of their welfare more, because they know that mistakes and frustration will also extend to them should the doctors get frustrated.
Do you think the doctors got caught in a loop when they suddenly realized that many of the issues they were taking on were issues that involved the broader health sector, not just doctors?
Well, maybe, just maybe. But even at that, there should have been a level of collaboration with others. It shouldn't just have been them. It should be the entire sector shutting down. That has to... The government of the day is insensitive and they don't listen. I can tell you that for a fact and for free. I tell people I voted for Buhari all those times he failed. But I can tell you today that he does not listen. He does not listen, and neither does his people. And that is why we are where we are. That's why three big bodies will go on strike. And our president is receiving health care somewhere else. And a presidential advisor on media or social media will come and say, he's been doing it for 6 years. Who says that? Thinking. There was a man called Latif Jakonde.
Right.
God bless his soul. The story I heard years back was that when he became the governor, he withdrew his kids from private schools and placed them in public schools. I went to a Jakonde school, Onitsha there, in Sulawesi, and I can compete favorably with the best of the best from King's College and what have you. So the system is not as bad as it seems, but it will continue to go down for as long as politicians are not made to be part of those patronizing the local system.
Very true. I mean, you can't talk about where the shoe pinches if you're not wearing that shoe.
You understand? Yeah. I can't imagine a Joe Biden coming to Nigeria for healthcare. The president of Tanzania died in his country. And I think he's a hero for that. If you feel your system is not good enough, then you are not good enough to be either. Because, let's face it, hello, can I talk?
Yeah, go ahead. Well, you're going to wrap up in about 30 seconds now.
30 seconds, I'll wrap up. And this is not the first time. Our president has a biography written for him. It wasn't even written by a Nigerian. This man does not patronize Nigeria. He does not. And Lai Mohammed will come and say that musicians should not go and film videos outside when they are not leading by example. We are not kids, my brother.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Umana. And plenty of food for thought in retrospect. That Miwa, I see, is calling in for Misheri. Hello, Miwa. All right. Sorry about that, but do try call back. So you got some messages I see on WhatsApp. I can take up. This is... Ororo from Ayobo, who says, you know, Ororo, sometimes people will call my name Ororo, so I was a bit confused whether he was trying to call my name, but he's Ororo. Ororo, great to have you join us on WhatsApp. He says, when a military man is reportedly killed in an area, the army will invade there and kill as many as they see on ground. This can only happen in Nigeria. All our security operatives have lost their respect and values, and that's what's playing out now. Even though... that thinking, but you make a point, because we have precedent. I remember in Zaki Biam in Odi, you had this happen where military personnel were killed, and then this sort of problems followed afterwards as they investigated. Emmanuel.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir.
You're calling in from Apapa. Do people still live in Apapa?
Yeah, the people in the Apapa, they're all fine.
I'm shocked. I said, do people still live in Apapa with the hold up?
Yes, our papa is clear now. It's clear now.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you so much.
Very quickly, you live in Apapa and work in Apapa?
I live in Apapa and I work in Apapa.
Okay, so if I come to Apapa today, you're sure I will get out by before nightfall?
Of course now. Okay. I can assure you of that.
All right, I'll take you by your word. Go ahead quickly.
All right, just in support of the Southeast, the formation of the security outfit.
Right.
And that is just all I want to say. And in support of the security outfit, in order to protect the people in that area.
All right. Thank you very much. Emmanuel in support. How it's going to work remains a matter of conjecture. There are already people thinking that they may be working at cross purposes. But interestingly, I did not hear the governors mention the Eastern Security Network. Not too sure ignoring them will in any way, will it validate, will it draw in the members of the ESN to be part of Ibubiago will remain another important thing to say. I think I can squeeze in one more call before we go on the break and have the business news. 99.3 Nigeria Info, the big three. We're looking at three big stories here. Resident doctors have suspended their strike at least 4 weeks. They watch what the government will do going by the memorandum of action. Eastern Security Net, Ibubiagu rather, has been launched, presented to the people. Michael from Victoria Island, first time caller and the last caller on the big three for today. Hello, Michael.
Shaku Maku.
Hey, Makushi.
How are you
doing, sir?
I call. This is Michael from PI.
All right, Michael, go ahead.
I'm calling because of the military issue.
In Benue State.
Yes. Mm. Why is it that the military only has power whenever the issue comes to other states?
Mm.
When I was growing up, I was made to understand that if you slap a military man, the whole of the community will be beaten up. But today, yes.
And it was true, right?
Yes.
People ran away. They just because they heard, they ran away.
Yeah. So if you have anything to do with the military, they will say, I better leave that place.
Yeah.
But why is it that the military only has power whenever it comes to other states?
Mm.
But when you come to North, they will kill our army and they will say they are bandits. The army doesn't have power to go and kill the bandits. They don't have power to kill the Boko Haram. They don't have power to kill other people that are killing people.
Mm.
But when we quarrel with the army in the east, the army will send helicopters to go and kill people.
Mm. Which would you have preferred, Michael? When these killings happen, they probably refer to the police and say, please carry out an investigation since we're a concerned party in this thing.
Okay. Why don't they send the police to investigate the Benue issue? Why would the army go and kill the number of people that they kill?
Mm.
They cannot kill the bandits in the north that are killing people every day.
Mm.
In Imo State, before we have this issue that is happening today, I believe you were aware of the helicopter that the army sent to go and bomb this that place.
Mm.
Let me take you to the issue of the jail break. They break the jail.
Right.
There's nothing like anybody kill.
Mm.
Even the person that they were burning, they did not kill anybody. They will set us for free before they said, no, I'm not supporting that. That they will set everybody free. But then in the north, they will come with people sleeping and they will kill them.
Mm.
Yet, the army doesn't have power to go and kill them.
Mm.
But they will go and kill in Benue State.
Mm.
When the Fulani kill, they were the first.
Right.
The army doesn't have power to go and kill the Fulani.
All right, Michael. Sorry, Michael, we're out of time. We're going to have to go for the business news now. But thank you very much. And all of you, keep those calls and comments coming in. We'll go first for the business news, and after that, we'll have Checkpoint with Chukwudi. Please stay with us.